Oh, hey Sam, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Yeah, fine. For a bunch of reasons I can't talk about on the show, things are going just fine.
How does it feel living in now that everyone else is locked down? So all the karma has finally come around.
There's no lockdowns. There's no lockdowns. There's stay-at-home orders.
Stay-at-home orders, right. Sorry. If anyone personally who listens to this podcast, I know this is a stretch, but if anyone who listens to this podcast personally knows, can you give me his number so I can call him up and call him a to his face?
He's probably... He probably gets that on an hourly basis.
I hope so.
Frankly. I'm sure he's just constantly getting kicked in the shin and called a by just everyone who walks past him.
Genuinely hope so.
He's got his adamantium shin guards on. And he's like, I don't give a fuck. I make $1 billion, $1 trillion a second.
I'll knee him in the next time then, rather than the shin.
You don't figure four of that. Laser grid protection
laser
on me.
Protection on his That seems dangerous. Just gonna say it. Anyway, I'm gonna cut all this out. Do you wanna hear some
just his name.
I'll like every other word so that like the conversation's so disjointed and people will just go, what the hell are they talking about? Laser grids on what?
Anyway. Fuck! everything until just before that. Start the episode with, on his fuck!
This is a great start. This is the energy we need for this episode, knowing the topic. At Flint Monkey tweeted saying, the latest episode of Superman and Lois goes into exactly what you two doofuses were trying to figure out with the whole putting your consciousness into another person thing.
Oh, God damn it. I don't know if figure it out's the right word.
I was going to say, that because we spent the whole last episode trying to figure out immortality. Was that what we were doing? I don't remember.
Sure. That was the topic of the last episode.
I forget what we say
like
as soon as I stop
recording.
There were fish
boys involved.
Put our consciousness in the mind
the regenerative
of fish.
Properties of starfish, sea stars.
Starfish. You know, it's a jellyfish that's biologically immortal. Fuck that. Fuck that. Why do they get that and we don't? That's bullshit, Cal.
Like, because I imagine what basically... No, we can't go into this, dude. We're so late to recording. I can't think about how, like, mechanically that would work.
Next tweet is from @RileyIsGood, and it says, just got around to Luca. Really liked it. I think it rushed through the first act a little too quickly, which made it take a while for me to latch onto it personally, but it was really nice by the end. I totally agree.
Yep, that's almost exactly what I was saying, is that, it doesn't give you that sense of the world that Luca lives in first.
Yeah, well, and it was fine once you got to the town, and I understood the world we were in. Like, that was when I really got into it, so I totally agree. Mm. Last comment from Riley is, also, they live rules. It does. It's fucking unreal.
I believe you.
We should do a John Carpenter episode, really, at some point.
Fair enough. I don't know anything about him. So
The Thing, Halloween, They Live.
Halloween was
What is it? Something Mountain of Madness? What's so bad? Halloween's great.
Halloween is not great. It's Halloween all terrible. Is great. There's not a good one.
Have you seen The Thing?
No.
All right. Well, you probably should see The Thing because The Thing also rules.
Dude, every episode, I feel like we come up with something for Spoopy Ween.
We get to Spoopy Ween, we'll just talk about Halloween Town or something like that.
I think we should just go everything from October 1st up until December is
spooky
Ween.
Things. Mm. Yeah. We don't have any other holidays in between.
So
it's true.
Sorry,
we should do Fear Street next month though when it comes out.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm just keen to I might even read those books.
I've read a couple and they're fun teen. Like, rompy horrors, and they're all like, hey, is it a ghost, or is it a ghost? Is it a ghost? Ooh, spooky. I got a little 3-in-1 thing. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it a lot. They're like slightly toned down Carrie kind of level readership.
Yeah.
I like it. I like them. Fair enough. So far. There's like a million of them too, so.
Yeah. Well, that was the good thing about R.L. Stine.
He just knocked them out like a boss.
He just sort of wrote a book a day. And then,
he wrote 1,000 words a day.
Subscribe to his Patreon. Sorry?
He writes 1,000 words a day, I read an interview saying, he said.
I reckon there are Goosebumps books that aren't 1,000 words long.
I think that's probably not true.
Well, okay, like, not, as in, you could reduce them to 1,000 words without removing any content.
Yeah, right.
There's as many Goosebumps books as there are stars visible to the naked eye. Like, I don't even think that's that much of an exaggeration to say.
No, and I think it's similar to Fear Street. But the Fear Streets are also quite short, and they're so digestible. They're like, they're just such digestible books. It's really, really easy reads. And there's a scene in one of them, which in the stepsister, which is one of the two I've read so far. I straight up stole the concept of that scene for my own book. Homage that scene.
That R.L. Stine stole it from something else.
I'm sure, because nothing's original. Shall we talk about nothing being original, Cal, with this week's topic?
Sure, because I have things to say on that particular way of viewing these movies.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah, so are we just going to go... Oh, we've got to
play the music. Are we going to do the intro first? Is this your first fucking day?
I keep forgetting to do this. Come on, Jeff. Play the music. Hello and welcome to the Video Shop Podcast about what you're watching, maybe. I'm your host, Cal.
I'm your other Sam, and the fact that Jeff is here tells you which timeline this episode of the Video Shop is set in. For all those keeping track of at home of the Video Shop continuity.
Oh my god. Now see, Jeff doesn't die until the sixth timeline. Everything, even though Jeff appeared in the third one, it's a prequel. Everything's a prequel.
For some reason, Jeff exists now and he's still using a flip phone.
fucking flip phones.
Anyway, we're talking about Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. Your fucking mate trying to convince me that them using flip phones in Tokyo in 2016 isn't weird.
No, they still use flip phones in Tokyo.
Sure, like 10% of the population, like everywhere.
No. Yes. Smartphone adoption is it's still pretty sparse. Like, it's not, like, most people still have smartphones at this point, but a lot of people, especially a lot of teenagers, get flip phones.
Sure. Well, I guess that makes sense if it's, like, parents buying them phones. I would, if I had a kid, I would get them a flip phone first before I got them a smartphone.
Yeah.
And,
flip
like,
phones never went away.
They never went away anywhere. I worked in a phone shop. We still sold old phones. No one's filming a car chase on their flip phone. That's what I'm saying.
well, you could if your Wi-Fi was good enough. And they're modern flip phones, which they are, because we all know Tokyo Drift takes place in the year 2049.
Oh my
Just
god.
Just keeps getting pushed back.
Let's go movie by movie. I think is the best way to do this. For the record, I think
we should say we're talking about the whole, the first five movies.
No, we're talking about the first. I think we should have done them in lots of three because there are 9 films.
In hindsight, maybe, but I haven't seen 6 yet, so I don't know how much it relates. It really feels like the midway point of 5 is like the halfway point of the whole thing,
I guarantee that doesn't carry over. I guarantee. I guarantee that you will
fair enough.
Not have that experience at all. But we're going to talk about the first 4 because I have seen the 5th one, but it was a long time ago, so I couldn't.
Okay, we might have to dabble into the 5th a little just because it takes place immediately after the 4th. Like it's
no, we
4
don't.
And 5 are sort of inseparable.
In that case, we'll just talk about the first 3 now and we'll do 4, 5 and 6 as another episode.
We'll, We're just going to wing it. We're not talking about the sixth one. That's hard coded.
I haven't seen it.
The next episode, we'll figure it out.
Oh my God. This is nonsense. This is why
it's ridiculous
Cal doesn't
nonsense.
Get to choose episode topics.
all right, cool. Let's start with the first one. What were your general thoughts of the first one, Sam?
Yes, what did I think of the first one? I actually really, really liked it.
Yeah, me too. I was a little surprised at basically everything that it looked like or did on the screen.
Yep.
I was not expecting this at all.
I thought the, like, zipping through hyperdrive, like, we're going to use NOS
approaching
to, like,
warp speed.
As the, like, world, like, zooms past them, I was like, well, that's dumb. But then it kept happening, and I'm like, do I like this? It was almost like Stockholm Syndrome, where the longer it went on, the more I was like, yeah, I'm into this. I dig this.
Well, because I just wasn't expecting a sort of, like, get to know a criminal as the plot of the movie. It came across as like a true crime thing.
It's just Point Break. And I know apparently, what are the things? The trailers that say Honest Trailers. Apparently Honest Trailers drew that comparison too. So I got called out for making the same comparison. But that was an original thought that I accidentally stole because I haven't watched Honest Trailers in a long time. Have you seen Point Break?
No.
It's great. Keanu Reeves, man. Get on it.
Eh. Eh.
Your lack of love for Keanu Reeves upsets me.
I'm not as enamored with Mr. Breathtaking as everybody else.
It's because you're dead inside.
But I don't know if... I could be completely unfounded on that, but I just don't remember enjoying The Matrix. John Wick's pretty good.
Speed is the only good... Speed's amazing! But what about Speed 2, Electric Boogaloo?
Nah.
No, it's poo. It's totally poo. It doesn't have Keanu Reeves in it. So what's the point?
Does it not?
No. No, they got some other guy to play the role because Keanu Reeves was like, I'm not making this shit. So Sandra Bullock came back.
Garbage.
Willem Dafoe's the bad guy, which should be incredible. Yeah. But then it's about a big boat and it's like, you got to stop the boat. It's going to run into the shore. And I'm like... We've got the whole ocean. This doesn't have the same stakes as a bus. I'm just going to say.
Also, just evacuate the beach.
It hits a town, because of course it does.
I don't know, whatever.
I feel like all you could do is get another boat, like a tugboat, and like push it. Like you could push it away anyway. I'm just saying, there were lots of solutions.
Vin Diesel, though.
Yes, like, looks fucking so weird, though, in this movie. Young Vin Diesel is hideous.
Well, I mean, because he looks exactly like old Vin Diesel, but...
He's like too... Old. He's like... And he's. I think it's because he's not as bulky in this.
Well, and because he gets there. Like, by the fourth movie, he's there.
Oh, he's normal Vin Diesel, yeah.
Yeah. Vin Diesel's a weird guy, because he's like... He does... He's ripped, but he's almost like... weightlifter ripped rather than bodybuilder ripped. He's got no superficial muscle. He looks like he can actually lift heavy things rather than he looks like he wants to look like he could lift heavy things. Does that make sense?
Did you just, because I've got some notes here and I actually disagree with nearly all my notes because I made them as I went along. There's a note here that is like the hyperdrive shit, like fast car stuff is dumb. But obviously, by the end of the movie, I was on board. I was so on board with it. I also had a thing where it's like a good way to slow down your car is to put in a massive sound system in the back. But again, by the end of the movie, I'm like, do it. It's all for the art. It's part of the style.
Well, see, when you're going that fast, you're going to start like lifting off the ground. You need like more weight.
You need
gives
to
your tires
keep
more traction.
It down in the back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Did you watch till the end? There's an end credit scene.
Oh.
I couldn't tell you what it was.
End credit scene?
I watched it, but I have no idea what happened. I've just got a note here that said, there's an end credit scene, how random. But I didn't write down what it was, so it can't... It might just be Dom driving or something. I don't know. Tweet us and tell me what it is.
Probably. I mean, we could look it up and then we'd have to edit that bit out. Nah, stuff that.
Nah. So you think I edit this podcast, Cal? Nonsense.
So my watch order for this was Tokyo Drift.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Fast and Furious, the fourth one.
Yep. No, it's just Fast and Furious. We know what you mean.
It's just Fast and Furious.
Worst naming scheme.
How could you get confused with these titles?
Worst naming scheme of any franchise ever. But yeah. I love it. I just want to be clear. I love it. I love the naming scheme.
I hate it.
Because if you're going to not try properly.
If you're going to not try to be clear and concise about what the movies actually are, at least try to be as confusing as possible.
Yes. Just give up. Call it just F9.
Just call every single movie
Fast and Furious. Like it's some fucking keyboard shortcut.
Just call every
movie Fast and Furious.
Yeah, there's Fast and Furious 2000, Fast and Furious 2004, Fast and Furious 2009, Fast and Furious 2021.
Cal, that sounds too clear, actually. Sounds like it's going to be too clear and too understandable, so...
Okay, so then you got to throw a spanner in the works and make the third one a prequel to the first... First six a prequel to the third one.
Yes.
That's it. Nailed it. Got it.
Honestly, I was complaining about the flip phone thing in Japan, and I still think it's dumb. But honestly, all of that dumb shit about this franchise is what I love about it thus far. I'm like...
Yeah, I know,
it
right?
It doesn't... And the worst part about Fast and Furious, and we'll get there, is it's mostly because it's boring as shit, but it takes itself way too seriously. And what I enjoy about the first three... No,
I don't know if you're talking
about
the first one or the fourth one.
The fourth one.
Okay.
Fast and Furious. The Fast and the Furious is the first one, idiot. The fourth one takes itself way too seriously, and what I love about the franchise is how nothing else in it is taken seriously. And I think, maybe, I finally understand the appeal of Hobbs and Shaw. I still think it's probably shit, but we'll see when we eventually rewatch it.
I was going to say, we'll get to that. But because, like, the fourth one is the one where, like... the fourth one is where it becomes superheroes, where it becomes just ridiculous.
And that's why, like, we shouldn't even be talking about it with these first three, but yeah.
Probably not. Like, I kind of see your point. But also, Vin Diesel catches an engine block with one hand. Admittedly, he's got a pulley taking approximately half the weight block. So he's lifting an engine block.
I was going to say, you're telling me it's going to crush a dude's head, but it can also be held up with one hand? Yeah. But that's pretty...
A dude's head with something you could hold in one hand.
I was going to say, but that's where that movie, it takes itself seriously, but is still dumb as shit. Like,
yes, because that's what I like, is the dissonance.
What I really liked, and I was surprised how much I liked Too Fast, Too Furious, despite all the driving shit in that movie being terrible, is Paul Walker and what's the other guy who was in that one?
I think it's Tyrese.
That sounds right. Let me see. Like, yeah, Tyrese
Gibson. I'm pretty
sure
he was a rapper before he was...
Yeah. They are clearly both having so much fun.
Oh, such a good time, man.
And...
Because that's a fun movie.
And I love that, like, Paul Walker's character shows up and his look is white t-shirt that doesn't fit. And... And he's like, I'm not a cop anymore. And it's like, whatever happens next, don't interfere. And they jump a car onto a boat. I'm watching this movie going, I like this. Why do I like it? I shouldn't. Nothing about this movie is objectively good, but I'm enjoying it so much. And Fast and Furious 4 lost that for me, I think. But I know for a fact they get it back, because I have seen the fifth one. I just have a note here that I just noticed. This is a bit of a sidetrack. But what the fuck has happened to this podcast? Because for some reason I don't want to watch movies, and you want to watch 10 of them. And I don't know what's going on. Anyway.
Okay. I need an escape from the fucking hellish... more that is my life.
It's everyone's life, Cal. I've decided to start watching The X-Files.
Ooh, I've been meaning to do that for ages. Apparently it's terrible.
It's like so 90s, and what I should hate about it is what I like the most, because I haven't seen it in any other show. And basically, we'll talk about Fast and Furious in a minute, guys. Chill.
We've only got fucking four movies to get through.
I'm only like a few episodes into it, if I'm being honest. But what I'm really liking so far is there's like these big mysteries, and the answers to the mysteries are often, so far at least, we kind of get them, but the main characters don't, and they don't win. They don't win usually, like in pretty much every episode I've watched so far, they lose. And I find that so incredibly fascinating.
That is a rare feature of procedural shows.
Yeah, and I don't know if it'll stick, but like episode two, like Mulder confirms that there are UFO flying saucers being created by the government, and they fuck his brain up and he doesn't remember it. And there's no resolution other than he's like, he gets told by someone that maybe they're already here. You don't know, and you're not gonna. And it's like, whoa. Like, it's just, I was completely taken aback by that, and it's got me, like, full into it. Spoilers for episode two, but anyway.
Dude, that is absolutely, like, a random non sequitur that people are going to be a bit mad about hearing.
Oh, I'm sorry I spoiled episode two of a show that started fucking over 25 years ago. Chill.
All right. I mean, you do you, man. I'm just send your angry tweets.
Cancel me. Cancel me. Do it. I don't care. I don't care.
So we sort of like we didn't really.
Yes, we should talk about the Fast and the Furious. Call it by its proper name, Cal, or I won't know what you're talking about.
The. Call it the.
That chase scene. Or not the chase scene, the heist scene of that truck in the at the end of the movie was so good.
Yeah, yeah. I honestly forgot about it, partly because was just not even planning to talk about it because it was just good, just all round good.
It was just good. The thing is, like, you look at the racing earlier in the movie, and some of it's a bit CG janky, but like it really, it's very stylized in a very intentional way. And that scene at the end was like a Mad Max style, like he's hanging off the side of the truck with his arm wrapped in like wire and like bleeding everywhere. Yeah. Like it's intense. Yeah,
it was because it felt relatively real for how ridiculous it was.
Sure, but like it was completely grounded and it was clear that a lot of it was done for real in stunts, so it looked real. I was really surprised and impressed by that sequence. Well,
and the blocking was good. Like we got a pretty strong idea of what was going on in every moment. It was really easy to follow.
Yes, which is the key to good action and is why like after the first Bourne Identity, the first Bourne movie, I stopped caring so much because it's just, I can't follow anything that's happening.
Yeah. It just feels like such a cheat. No, we've complained about that before, and that's pretty much going away. Like, nearly everything is just using, like, just the tiniest bit of shaky cam to hide some edits.
Yeah. Speaking of shaky cam, though, we'll get to that in the fourth movie. Yeah, no, I was really impressed. Did you know that the first movie was based on a magazine article? I saw that on Cinefix on YouTube.
Okay.
They did a What's the Difference? And it's based, there's an article about a real street racer who was a street racer in New York who went legit. And it's his story of, like, racing and, like, his description in that article, or the descriptions in that article. I don't think he wrote it. Someone else did. But the description in that article are, like, describing how the world like when you're racing, the world like zips past you in a blur of light, and like that inspired that style of drag racing in the movie. Watch the Cinefix video because they go into a lot more interesting detail about it, but I found that really cool and interesting.
Yeah, no, nice. I very well might do that. But like that, I keep coming back to this idea of this one being sort of a fictional true crime thing. And, like, just how much this movie is hung on Vin Diesel's performance as this, like, father figure to a whole bunch of misfits.
Yeah.
Like, there's something really wholesome about this movie.
That, there is, and it's... Yeah. This, I know you're not a big fan of Keanu Reeves, but it's kind of the... It's the... More or less the same plot in Point Break. Because it's a very... And Point Break probably does it slightly better, but this movie does it really well. And there's a reason... Like, watching this movie, I understand why there are so many of them now. Because this is the first time I'd seen this first one. Prior to this, I'd seen 5, 3, and Hobbs and Shaw, which is really a random selection.
I've only seen Hobbs and Shaw.
God, what an entry. So yeah, I like for the first time I get why this franchise is so successful. Based
but
on
at
this,
the same time,
I don't understand how it became what it has, but I kind of like.
You can see the evolution of it.
You can
in 4 and 5, but. It really hasn't, like... Maybe we should move on to 2.
The last thing I want to say, even though everyone has said it ever, it's so funny that they're stealing millions of dollars worth of DVD players.
And VHS TV combos.
It's so funny.
It's
because
very funny.
I would kill for one of those now, man. Like, I want one of those TV... You know those TV VHS...
That movie was set in 2021. Those were vintage collector's items that they were stealing.
I want one of those... Like, you know, I would love in my house one day to have, like one of those TV VHS built-in ones that works and have, like, a nice little collection of my favourite movies on VHS. Not to actually ever use, but, like, maybe you have people over for a dinner party, you pop it in while you're having drinks and hanging out. Like, it's not something you watch. It's a piece that you have as, like, a talking point.
Yeah, it's like, you just have it in the corner of your room on, like, a constant loop of some movie and you just change the movie out every now and then.
Yeah, yeah, rewind it and then... Well, that, I think that'd be cool.
On a very brief tangent, I've shown you, and I think I gave you or bought for you one of the VHS, not the VHS, the audio cassette MP3 players that work in cassette tapes, in cassette players.
Yes, you did. Did you ever give it to me?
I don't know. I've got a fucking pile of them that I never use that are sitting next to me. It's like, they're really cool, but I've no use for them. And the interface is just jank enough that I'm like, I'll just use Spotify.
That's so that's the problem. It's hard to justify when the world is at your fingertip.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, you want to play music? Here's a fucking infinitely easier way to do it. But, right, so that technology that of, like, using a magnetic tape, using technology to emulate a magnetic tape and the information stored on it, surely you could do that for video. If you could do it for audio, you could do it for video.
Yeah, you would think so, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know anything about it, so maybe I'm sounding like the massive dumb bum that I am.
Well, because you look at those old film cameras where they had a little video, a little, like, tape in it, and you put that in a VHS, like, adapter. That isn't direct film. That's using
that didn't just feed the tape, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. But... So, like, because if you could get one of those, then you could basically put a fucking solid-state hard drive in it of, like, 100 terabytes. You could put a fucking petabyte hard drive in it, put every movie that's ever been invented on it, and play it through the shittest TV in terrible resolution, because it would be cool.
That's just all I want. In saying that, like... The modern technology, like, Spotify's abilities to, like, pick music for you is really...
Fuck that. That's exactly the opposite of
I was going to say spooky. Spooky. I don't...
Yeah,
I try not
here.
To.
That's
I try to like
shit.
I try to like... I'm not here for that Fear Street Spotify.
Matt, can you...
I found this amazing song, though.
Oh, yeah?
Have you heard the song Depreston by Courtney Barnett?
No.
It's about looking for a house to live in Preston, and how if you've got a spare $500,000, you could probably knock it down and build a better one. It's just It's like home. I think it's a Kraken song. Anyway, go check it out on Spotify. I'll link it to you later. And the Furious. Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yes, let's do that. Sorry, because I want it to be like, can you imagine watching the new Star Wars movie and all its CGI bullshit on a VHS quality TV?
As long as it'd have to crop it, but I'd be totally okay with that. Rise of Skywalker might be way more digestible in shit resolution.
If it looked as bad as it is.
Yeah. Anyway. It'd trick me into thinking it was good, because I'd be like, oh man, that's some artistic styling there.
Like, they did that in 1992. That's cool.
That's incredible. Anyway.
So,
anyway,
Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yes, what's that?
It's a James Bond film.
It is a James Bond film.
It's James Bond, but they took, like, the protagonist from an 80s cop movie and his unlikely partner and shoved him to get into it.
Yep.
I love it.
Me too. I like this really one a lot as well. I thought the bad guy was just like love and life.
So Bond.
That guy who played the corrupt cop is the guy who played the corrupt cop in
Screams.
He's the guy who played the corrupt cop in Batman Begins as well.
Yeah, it is too. And then he just gets fucking caved in by Paul Walker just fucking whomping him his head into a wall.
Oh man. I love Paul Walker. Like, I really miss Paul Walker's dyed blonde hair in Fast and Furious 4.
Oh, and his, like, shitty curls. Yes. Like, gruff, stubbly Paul Walker is, like, what I expected when I watched these movies, and it's not as good as fucking surfer dude Shaggy is now a cop and a street racer.
Yeah. Yeah, I like how he's not a cop anymore. He's now a street racer for some reason.
It's like, this is the series made about, like, this is if the main character from Pretty Fly for a White Guy's video clip.
Yeah.
Got a whole movie.
Yep.
Oh, where's McGee when you need him? Get him onto that. Pretty Fly for a White Guy, the movie, I would absolutely watch.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
You couldn't make it now.
Not enough songs are adapted into films. Have you seen Last Christmas yet, Cal?
No.
Oh my God, we have to do that on the podcast.
It sounds terrible.
It is in the best way. And it's got Emilia Clarke in it. So, you know, who can complain?
Fair enough. I had so much fun with this second movie.
I love the bit where that there's that girl who's drawing, and Tyrese is like, or it's maybe not Tyrese, it's someone else, but one of the characters is like, hell yeah, that's some artistic shit, and I'm like, that is the crappiest little drawing of a car I've ever seen in my life. The angles are all wrong. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Oh man, and like, I briefly ducking back to the first movie, that wholesome as fuck scene with Paul Walker and the kid with ADD and his like digital drawing of the car that they're trying to fix up, and talking about how like it's the only thing that sort of keeps him focused, it's the only thing that he's interested in enough that gets him focused, and I'm like, oh fuck man, stop kicking my heart in the heart.
Yeah, that's what these movies do really well, is like having actual, it's pretty on the nose human emotion, but that's what makes them not just dumb action movies.
Well, because I think the premise is, look at all these big, tough, macho dudes who are acting super big and tough and macho, and watch them open up about their family and their problems and what they're going through. Like, it's meant to be this jarring transition. You're meant to go, oh, it's Vin Diesel, so this is going to be Triple X, and then...
Yes, and it's so much better than Triple X. Even though he wasn't in the Triple second X one because he was making Triple X, but...
yeah, I know this came out before Triple X, and that this is... That's not what people were expecting to see just because they saw Vin Diesel. But I think they cast Vin Diesel in this because he looks like the star of something like Triple X, but he can do this heartfelt shit.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
But anyway, back to the second one.
I mean, and so I am Groot, anyway. The Superman. Second one felt...
Cal, why?
You gotta do me like that. That's so rude. What was I gonna say? Yeah, this second one also made me, reminded me a lot of the Italian Job remake. Did you ever watch that?
No, I never did.
I think you'd probably
mostly
like it.
Mostly because you love it.
I know. I think you'd probably like, you know, it's Jason Statham's in it.
Yeah.
Seth Green, I think, is in it too. I mean, yeah, it's Mark
That's
Wahlberg.
Weird.
But who's the, it's Charlize Theron's in it. Like, it's a Edward Norton. Like, it's a killer cast. And then, unfortunately, Mark Wahlberg. But he's all right in some things.
Mark Wahlberg's all right.
Yeah, he's all right. I'm sorry, Mark.
I feel like he'd be a better just, like, reality show, like, host. Like, I'd watch just him running his burger joint, you know, just hanging out. Like, I'd watch a reality show about Mark Wahlberg before I'd watch an actual movie that he's in.
Fair enough. I just, because he, I would watch him run his burger shop. Hell yeah.
Have fun with that.
Yeah, I would watch The Italian Job if you like this, because it's a little bit more grounded, but it's really fun, and I recommend it. Maybe we'll do an Italian Job episode at some point. We'll compare the reboot to the original.
Yeah, even maybe. Even though they're we'll like
uncomparable films, but like that's neither here nor there.
The same in name only.
Pretty much, because they call it the remake, but it's really an American remake. So the original is, what's his name? Michael Caine.
yeah.
I had to imagine Stephen Coogan doing the voice. Michael, it's like young Michael Caine and he's British lads
like running around. It's more in the vein of a Guy Ritchie film than it is.
Yeah, and the new one's more in the vein of a Fast and Furious movie. Yeah. Anywho,
fair enough.
The reason it reminds me of this is it also came out of 2003 was the Italian Job remake, so it's very close to this. I don't have a lot to say on Too Fast, Too Furious, if I'm being honest. I just had a lot of fun with it.
I'm just surprised at how disparate these first four movies are. Like, they don't feel like they're part of the same franchise at all. Arguably, the fourth one kind of does, but only because all those characters come back.
Yeah.
The first one being this, like, true crime thing, the second one being a Bond film.
Yeah.
But it's, like, Bond, but good.
Yeah, we're not big on the Bond films here at the video shop.
No, I don't think I've watched one that I'm, like, super into.
I like GoldenEye a lot, but that's the only one I can say I actively like. Skyfall's okay, but I found it kind of boring.
Now, Skyfall, all the Daniel Craig ones, man, are just painfully boring.
Just give me Knives Out movies, Daniel Craig.
Totally, because Daniel Craig is...
Well, and they just started shooting the sequel too, so that's exciting.
He's a well of charisma, that man. Except in James Bond, then he's a fucking vacuum.
Yeah, I don't understand why that's the case. Have you seen Logan Lucky?
No, I was trying to think of what that movie was called the other day so I could look it up.
Check it out. Remember it. Give it a watch. Because he's unreal in it.
That it's so good.
And it's also Channing Tatum and Kylo Ren. What's his name?
Adam Driver.
And they're all amazing in it. It's amazing. It's a great film.
Nice. Yeah.
Shall we talk about the best of these first four?
You really like the third one.
Tokyo Drift. I loved it when I first saw it, and I still love it.
Holy shit, man. Because this... Okay, I really have a deep appreciation for the first one in particular. But this is my favourite as well.
Yes, good. but call it by its proper name, please. The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift.
Dude, so okay, so here's where I think the naming scheme could have just been so easily rectified.
Yeah.
It should have just been that they all should have had this same subtitle system, but with just the city that they're in.
Oh, that would have been good.
Because they all take place in different cities.
True. But then you get to the later ones and they take place across multiple cities. So do you call it like...
Fast and Furious World Tour 1, Fast and Furious World Tour 2.
Terrible. Because then it'd be the Furious World Tour 1. Like, that is one of the worst names for a movie I've ever heard in my life.
And then, because then you give it a subtitle.
Oh, no. There's too many subtitles then, Cal.
No, I love it. Because it should... Yeah. You give it a subtitle based on what happens in the film.
I think you've missed the point, though. The names for these don't get longer, they get shorter. Because you've got F9. And F10, oh, I assume, will just be called X.
Just F? Control X. S?
No, it'll just be X for 10. They drop the Fast and Furious entirely. The movie's called 10.
And then the next one's just two X's.
Well,
and then the third one is triple X. Hang on.
Wait a minute. Have you... Now, I love these movies because they're dumb and stupid and none of it makes any sense. Have you seen what the plan is for the 10th movie?
Or that they're going to space?
No. That's... Okay, you haven't seen the trailer for F9 then, I take it. But, spoilers.
Because I heard that they wanted to go to space.
Yeah, spoilers.
Like, for like multiple movies ago, the people writing this shit were like, you know, we're working our way to space.
Yep. No, Vin Diesel announced that Fast and the Furious 10 is going to be in two parts. But that's not Fast and the Furious 10. It's Fast and the Furious 10 and 11.
10 and it's 11. It's like saying Fast and the Furious 4 is in two parts. It's not. Like 4 and 5 are consecutive, but it's not Fast and Furious part. It's not Fast and Furious 4 part 1 and part 2.
Yeah, and what's the name going to be? Is it going to be Fast and the Furious 10-1 and then Fast and the Furious 10-2?
Yes, probably.
10 to what? 10 to what?
God damn. No, it'll be Fast and Furious 10S and 10S Max.
Oh my god. FF10 Plus. It'll be FF10 and then FF10 Plus.
God damn it. Because that's Final Fantasy 10 and 10-2, Sam.
X1 and X2. Wait a minute. Is X2 already a movie? I think it might be.
Yeah, it's X-Men 2.
Yeah, I know. I know, Cal. Do they know? I'm not sure they do know.
I need to point it out for all the people out there who would have not cared.
My brain cells might be deteriorating rapidly. But,
good. That's where we need them to be for these next couple of movies. But
this is
the
Justin
third one.
Lin, and he does... all the movies between this one and 6, and then I think he's also done 9.
So did he not have anything to do with the first two?
No.
Okay. Because I heard a theory.
I just wanted to be
basically...
said, he directed episodes of Community in season 1, including Modern Warfare.
Which is the paintball one?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, that's good.
Anyway, yeah.
But so I heard theories on a YouTube video that this was basically a Justin Lin project... that's that was more connected to his other movies that starred Han.
I think it's more that he moved a character across than it was connected to those movies.
Well,
in
the
any
theory
way.
Is the theory was that it was originally meant to be that, and then Universal went, we haven't made as much money as we thought this year. If you're going to make this project, it has to be part of our existing IP, so we can guarantee some ticket sales.
Maybe.
And they just went, cool, it's Fast and Furious now.
Well, and
it's going to cost us $1 million to get Vin Diesel in for a post-credit scene, but fuck it.
Well, apparently, do you know what the deal was with that? Apparently, I saw this, I think, on Caravan of Garbage, Mr. Sunday Movies. Apparently, he got the Riddick franchise in exchange for that cameo. Because he loves Riddick, and they gave him the franchise for that.
I mean, that's cool, because the Riddick movies, as far as I can tell, are quite good.
I've heard that. Even though no one's seen them.
I watched the first one years ago. And it feels like Batman in space a little bit. It's like, this guy is just... You cannot kill him. And he is super prepared. And he learns like about his environment. And just survives. Like, it's...
Yeah.
It's hardcore Robinson Crusoe as a superhero. Yeah, and that's sort of what I have taken from what I remember of the Riddick first movie, but I don't remember very much. But yeah, so...
Tokyo Drift is so disconnected, but it's also so good. I love the main character. He's like annoying southern drawl. That opening sequence too is like the epitome of small dick versus big dick energy. Even though these like clearly fully grown dudes are not in high school.
I know, right? Like, especially this main character, it just looks way too fucking old.
Looks like he's fucking 30. But I also love, like, the girl in the race car, that line, she's like, I thought you loved me. And I'm like, that's hilarious.
Like, fucking no one would ever say that. Like, this is clearly a cartoon.
Yeah, but that's, I was so on board with that sequence.
That is what this movie is, though. It's like, it's an anime. Like,
yeah.
Like, apparently there is an anime that's very similar to this that's about drifting, and I don't know what it is. It's referenced in Steven Universe, and I don't know. My anime friends will be a little disappointed in me for not remembering what it is. But yeah, this feels like a slice of life anime.
Yeah. Well, and I like his, like... Apart from the obvious problem of an American coming in and taking over as the Drift King from someone else, but I mean,
like, he's not ruling the Drift Kingdom with an iron fist. He just, but like,
but I like that he like kind of, you know, he butts heads with some people.
Like, he goes to school. He gets into fights. The schools look like Japanese schools. Like,
a lot of this
wasn't filmed in Japan, but a lot of it looked like they captured. I thought what a lot Tokyo of it was filmed in Japan. Like. A lot of it was filmed in LA.
Oh, really?
Apparently, like, there's bits that, like, if you've lived there, you would recognize them, and apparently it's super jarring for Americans to watch.
Well, I heard that they filmed on a real street that they were not allowed to shoot on, so the studio hired a fake director who took the fall so Justin Lin could keep directing after the police arrested the fake director.
Yeah,
or something. And
do you remember the scene where Han sends American boy into the bathhouse to give a, like, to try and collect debt from the huge sumo wrestler dude?
Yes.
It's the huge sumo wrestler dude who was the guy who was hired to take the fall.
Oh, really? That's hilarious. Yeah.
He spent a night in prison.
Poor guy.
Apparently, like, the cops were just too polite to tell them to leave. until they finally did, and they're just like, look, you've gone too far now, like, you've broken this many laws, we have to take somebody in. And he went, well, I'm the director.
My only thing is, driving, like, it's all these kids driving, I'm like, none of them can have licenses.
No, apparently it's 18 is the driving age in Japan.
Yeah, it's like in Australia, so that kind of made me, I'm like, they're all breaking the law and drifting, so I was kind of like, well, I guess whatever then, I suppose. But
yeah,
it did take me, I kind of was like, okay, that feels like an American, imposition on the...
But it's also, like, there is absolutely manga and anime about kids who are too young for this shit, like, building their own cars in their basements and driving them, like, yeah,
and
it's an absolute fantasy of, like, being an adult, being old enough to do that.
I was going to say, as soon as you take it as a cartoon, you totally buy into the movie that is Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, as soon as you accept that it's just an anime, it's great.
Hans is also, like, so good as a character. I love his character.
He's great, yeah.
And when he dies, it's a bummer. Sorry, when he dies... It's a
quote,
bummer.
Quote, unquote. Yeah.
Yeah. Somehow, Hans has returned. The dead speak!
Oh, God. Yeah, I think if this movie had a slightly more charismatic lead actor...
I liked him. And I was
He grew on me. But at first I was like, fuck, I don't think I can handle this character.
Well, the thing is, his unlikable nature and his evolution to being not that is what works, I think, for me.
And because he has the same sort of energy that Paul Walker brings to his role of, like...
Yeah.
He doesn't exude competence, necessarily.
Yes. No, he doesn't at all.
But he still can walk the walk. And like, I like that we sort of see a character fail and get better, and like, it's not just like, oh, this is Paul Walker's driving savant already as good as the fucking, the best in the business, arguably.
Yeah.
You know, like it does. Yeah. I think this movie is like, it sort of works as a movie about driving and about cars.
Yeah.
Way more than the other two do. The first two do.
Because it's actually, like, even though you've got the, you know, the Yakuza in there, it's about the driving. And that's why it totally works.
But it's also a nice escalation from, from infiltrating a street gang to that street gang infiltrating a, like, organized crime. And, like...
Yeah.
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 What were you going to say?
I think it'll, I think it just works. Like, it's just really, like, well put together. And what I really like is the world. I love the world of Tokyo being depicted like this, because we've seen, you know, LA, we've seen Florida used as the basis for these kind of stories a million times, right? So it's really, within the franchise, refreshing to see this world.
Well, and because it sort of follows the template of like a sports movie of like this underdog, sports ball player.
Totally.
Eventually becoming the best person on the team.
Totally.
And yeah, I think that just, it's a more satisfying story arc for an individual movie to take. Like if you had brought this character back, for a second movie, it just wouldn't have hit quite so hard.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they could bring this character back for Fast 9 and 10 or whatever, like, and just make him part of the entourage, because it's already just gotten way too ridiculous for it to mean anything.
it just wouldn't matter. The main character, what's his name?
Yeah, I don't know his name.
Yeah, I've got a small spoiler for you, Cal, if you want it.
Sure, go for it.
I looked up the actor to see what else he'd done, and he's credited in F9. So
nice.
So I'm
actually really keen for that.
I'm there for that. We will talk about all these movies. Whether we talk about them consecutively, we might use them to fill in other weeks, but we'll see how we go. Audience. Does our audience care about this? Do you want us to keep talking about this? Tweet us. Anyway.
Because I think we should maybe, like, because there's a couple of other things coming out soon. But
well,
Fast 9
week
is out now, isn't it?
What was that?
The newest
F9
one is out now.
Is out, yes. Yeah.
So maybe we should just go next week, let's just do the rest of these movies. And maybe even including Fast 9. But because I think the week after
there's
is
a
Black
lot of
Widow.
Film. Yeah, it is, yeah. But also, that movie Freaky came out this week.
Yeah.
Or last week. We should do a body swap episode at some point.
I am keen to do a body swap episode. Maybe even where we don't even necessarily watch the same movies, but we all just bring as many body swap movies as we can to the table just to talk about the genre.
Yeah, totally. But we don't have to do that. I think we already missed the Freaky is Out gap, so maybe we do just finish the Fast and Furious movies next week.
I think that's the way to go. And speaking of finishing the Fast and Furious, is there anything you want to say about Tokyo Drift before we move on to the fourth one?
No, it's just probably the best of these opening four by easy. And I think the driving in it is particularly good.
I think there's a close, it's close to the first one.
Sure.
And at every given minute, I flip flop between the first and the third one.
That's fair.
The second
I like the first one, I find, too.
Is the most different.
Like it's also surprisingly fun, the second one. I assumed I was going to really hate it, but I thought it was so much fun. You know what movie I did not like, though, Cal?
Let's go. Let's do this.
I thought this one was terrible. I mean, terrible is harsh. Like, I wasn't sitting there going, oh my God, I can't believe I have to watch this. But I was sitting there, like, checking my watch, you know? And when you're checking the time or checking your phone, the movie is clearly not engaging.
And I think I watched this in a terrible order in hindsight. Like,
Totally.
Because my, Charles has been sort of holding my hand and guiding me through this whole process, my housemate.
Yeah, and he thought that 3 was the best spot to start with, so...
Well, because I think it's his favourite as well.
That's fair.
It's also, like, it's disconnected. It's like, you can watch this without seeing anything else, and you don't necessarily have to watch the first two. I'm not giving you his justifications necessarily.
Well,
I'm giving you my
own.
To
be fair, I did watch the third one first of any of these movies.
Yeah.
I think you should see the first one before you see the fourth one, though.
Yeah, because the real sequential, like, series is 1, 4, 5.
Yeah.
Like that's... Yeah, you could watch 1, 4, 5 and it would make total sense and it really doesn't matter.
2's almost a spin-off.
Two is almost a spin-off. 3 is absolutely a spin-off.
Yeah.
But I can kind of see what they were doing.
Fast and Furious presents Tokyo Drift.
Sure. But I think it should be Fast and Furious LA, Fast and Furious Miami, Fast and Furious Tokyo.
Yeah, whatever. So this movie... I actually thought the opening heist of that truck was all right until it stopped being real cars and became CGI.
Yeah, because it's still a little bit too early for CGI to be really
good. The CGI is pretty fake, and the big tanker like rolling down that hill. It shouldn't be building any kind of momentum on that hill. It should have slid into a nice stop. and it's bouncing high enough he can drift under it. I'm like, oh, God. It's dumb.
Yeah.
So dumb. This scene was so good until this moment.
And, because I watched this before I watched any of the quote-unquote main series.
Yeah.
I was under this assumption that everything I see in this is standard affair for Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah.
So I wasn't looking at this like, wow, this franchise that has been silly at times but relatively grounded has taken a ridiculous turn all of a sudden, like I should have. I was watching this like, oh, this is all normal.
And yeah, I mean, even though I know that's where the universe goes... I still was, like, taken aback after the grounding of Tokyo Drift.
Mm.
And, like, there's that nice scene at the end of Tokyo Drift with Vin Diesel where he's like, I got nothing but time. And I'm like, well, this is a really, like, they're just going to do a little race. And it's a little race in a car park, and now Vin Diesel's drifting under exploding tankers. It's a jump.
Yeah. Oh, but that's where he learned to drift under tankers, was in Tokyo with...
No, that's not how it works.
No, it isn't, because he hasn't been to Tokyo yet.
No, he hasn't.
Anyway.
So also, Hans is... This is... Five was... They never intended, clearly, that 5 was going to also take place before Tokyo Drift. Because Hans has that line in 4 where he's like, I hear they're doing some cool stuff in Tokyo. And then he doesn't show up for the rest of the movie, including in the little team up at the end. And I'm like, okay, so they clearly meant for him to go to Tokyo. And then he's back in the next one.
Yeah.
I do remember that much.
God damn it.
And he might be back in 6 too. Spoilers. I can't remember.
So
I haven't seen 6, but...
Nah, me either. So I was under the... because I watched this first, I was under the impression that that Paul Walker was an FBI agent right at the beginning.
Yeah.
And so watching this movie first did give a unique context to the first movie where it's supposed to be a reveal for the audience that he's a cop.
Yeah.
Because at first, you're like, you're watching that first movie, like, holy shit, this guy's really good at pretending he's not a cop.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it sort of gives context to this fourth one of like, oh, well, he's not really good at pretending he's not a cop. He's really good at pretending he is a cop when yes. when he's employed as a cop.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Oh, man, that opening chase with him and the shaky cam, I'm like, ah, someone yeah. clearly watched Bourne.
yeah, a little bit. But, like, I'm still on board for all this, and, like, some of the dumb superhero shit, like Vin Diesel's sixth sense about being able to, like, psychically recreate the scene of Letty's death. Like his fucking bones.
Yep. Yep. It's like that scene in Iron Man 3 where Jarvis, bring up the crime scene for me, please.
And just whoop, zoom, enhance.
But he can see everything but the murderer's face.
God damn it. Because clearly he doesn't have that information yet, Sam.
And they killed Letty off-screen. This other
fucking information. Yeah, that does feel a bit dumb, especially... I know we were kind of not talking about the fifth one, but especially when, like, the fifth one, like, replaces her, like, gives Vin Diesel another love interest, and has the post-credit scene that confirms that she's alive.
The dead speak! Somehow, Letty has returned.
Oh, no.
She's building up forces in Miami. Yeah, no one's ever truly gone.
God damn it.
There's a Star Wars quote for everything, Cal.
I used a Fast and Furious quote today.
Oh yeah.
Like at work, we made
I thought you loved me?
Oh, that would have been funny. at work we made like a huge amount of our targets today. But another store got within, like, 1% of us, but didn't quite beat us. So yeah. I posted a picture of Vin Diesel and was like, a win is a win, whether you win by an inch or a mile.
Boo! Boo! I would have booed you.
And it was just like, for that moment, I felt like I had, like, an 18-inch cock. And it's like, that's what these movies are for, man.
You drove the like 2 minutes home from work going quarter mile at a time. That was you, wasn't it?
Yep. Oh fuck! Like, that's why you should watch these movies, people. If you haven't, it's because it's just so dumb.
It's so dumb.
They're the movies that make you think you can say that on the internet.
Anyway. I get it. Like, I get these movies. After seeing these first four, like, I liked 5 when I saw it because I think it's a great action film. But after watching these four consecutively, I get the franchise. I get why it exists. Even though this one was the worst one, I get it. And I have the context of 5.
Well, and like, because the fifth one really does, about halfway through, take a drastic turn into even more ridiculous than the fourth one was.
But it really works. And again, it's the practical effects versus the CG, man. That makes a huge difference. The worst sequence in this movie is that goddamn Mexican border scene with the fakest looking tunnels. Also, just so you know, Retrumpicans, border walls don't work because there's a huge network of car tunnels underneath.
Secret tunnels. Through the mountain. secret tunnel. Anyway.
That all looked bad and it was dumb. And most of the plot didn't work. I like the bit where Vin Diesel blew up his own car, though, and everyone else's. I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. I like the bit where Vin Diesel's sister was like, kind of say goodbye to my only brother. F9 called, it wants to retcon you.
No, because you can't see John Cena. She didn't know.
She's never seen him. He's too busy waving his hand in his face.
No, but see,
remember that, meme? Good times.
Because if the theme of this of like being like the family that you choose is important. So and emphasizing that with the family you're born with isn't as important as the family you chose is a good way to go with this. So like, I'm not particularly mad about that that quote unquote continuity error, because I'm sure they're just going to hand wave it as, oh no, he's dead to me because he's, I don't know, shit cunt.
Or he's a half brother, so not related to her. Actually, that can't possibly work. But maybe a half brother, so she doesn't count it. Or she's dead at this point. Who knows? I don't. I don't know what happens to her as a character.
It doesn't. Yeah. Like so. Fuck. I can't remember what I was going to say.
Actually, that end chase across the desert looks great until they arrive at the tunnels. The practical effects across this franchise all look amazing. It gets too CG that it bothers me.
Yeah, definitely. But like, there's a few bits where like, the guy ends up out of his car and he gets run over, and like the camera is slowly panning up and he's just out of frame when he's about to get hit. Like, there's a couple of like really good shots in those that are kind of not ruined by how bad the CG is, but you just have to remember when that movie came out.
Yeah,
and I think would be better in 4:3 ratio on a tiny little CRT TV.
And we've come full circle. Tweet us at VideoShopPod. What are your favourite Fast the Furious movies?
Oh, man, there's so much more to say.
Well, apparently we're talking about the next five next week. I'm sure we can cover on that three-hour episode then.
I just want to say that the execution of the bad guy by, like, Paul Walker holding his leg in place while Vin Diesel just fucking slams him with that car.
How did Paul Walker not lose his arm?
Because Vin Diesel is a very good driver, Sam. I don't know why. I don't know how you missed this.
So stupid.
Yeah, I really so am stupid. Enjoying this franchise so far. And if you are, tell us what are you like so far. Please, no spoilers for 6 onwards.
Why did Gal Gadot show up just to go, I want to fuck you so bad, Vin Diesel? That was her whole character, right?
In the first one, she was the Bond girl. She was her, like, introduction to, like, get in with the villains. In the fifth one, she's like, oh, I want to fuck you, Han.
Ooh, I don't remember that in the fifth one.
Oh, you should rewatch the fifth one, man.
I'm gonna, Cal. Do it. Isn't that the whole point of this? We're gonna watch them all.
They need someone's handprint, so she, like, takes off her sarong and reveals her bikini. And then walks over and, like, flirts with the bad guy who grabs her ass. And then they use the print from her bikini. God.
I don't remember that. That's so stupid.
It's so good, man. And then it becomes, like, this running joke of, like, so did he, like, just give it a little pat? Or did he, like, really grab that ass?
So stupid.
It's so dumb. It's very so dumb. Stupid. Tune in so next week stupid. To hear us talk about an even dumber movie than Fast and Furious 4.
So stupid.
So are we doing... No?
I was going to say, see you nerds. I don't know what else I'm going to say. Bye. Bye. Tweet us. Bye.
See you nerds.